to see you. So if you're free to stay for a cup of tea and a coffee and a chat afterwards, that would be, you're very welcome to, that would be great. One quick notice, there's a circuit service here next Sunday, Holy Communion. So I'll try and get here a bit earlier because it's likely to be busy, which will be hopefully good news. So as I say, circuit service here next Sunday. So it gives me great pleasure now to welcome Joe to lead our service of worship this morning. So it's with great pleasure I hand over to Joe. She is on her way, honest.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Christine's just given me a lovely, calm prayer for which I was truly grateful. It's been one of those mornings so far where you arrive at a place where you know where to go so long as they don't shut the road. And unfortunately, they had done. And I was also listening to the build-up of the Lionesses match on the radio and thinking, nobody will come. They'll all want to watch the World Cup. And here you all are. So thank you. Let's have a lovely service and celebrate in worship together. My call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So with those reassuring words to uplift us, let's do as the psalm suggests and come into God's presence with singing. Our first hymn is God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him. Singing the Faith 103, or Rob has very kindly displayed it on the overhead for us. Thank you.
Let's pray.
you. Thank you very much for the glorious harmonisation in the final verse. I love coming here because we always have some really fabulous organ playing. Thank you. And now let's join together in prayer. Loving God, we have come to worship you, to listen, to hear, to give, receive and grow. Thank you for your love that flows like a stream into the ocean of your grace. As your love encircles the world, we pray that it may bring wholeness and true peace, healing our brokenness. As all things pass and fade away, love remains eternally. Holy God, we confess the truth of our lives, the fear that stifles us, the prejudice that blinds us, the ignorance that limits us, the doubt that plagues us, and those traits of behaviour that shame us. Forgive us, Lord, for our apathy, for our lack of courage to speak out, for not doing all we can in situations of need. We are sorry for the many times when we say or do the wrong thing, or when we do nothing, when we act or react badly and fail to live up to what Jesus would do, despite our good intentions and our knowledge of what is right. Help us, we pray, to find true repentance and goodness, to see the world with new and gracious eyes, to move to those places where love is needed, and to have faith that you are with us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and we are included in that love. We are forgiven and freed to love and to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, number 471, is Lord, I Come to You. I discovered this one personally fairly recently. I don't know if you sing it regularly. It's a nice tune and the words are appropriate. So if you don't know it, I hope that you'll pick it up quite quickly. I would have brought my cello along today to play it, to give you the tune, but it's at the repairer's. So we'll have to make do with a piano, which will give a lovely strong lead. Thank you. To your side. Thank you. And that brings us to our scripture readings. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, from chapter 1, and beginning to read at verse 4. It is the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Thanks be to God. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse 13. No, it's verse 1, sorry, it says 13 here. I know it's verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a woman, I put the ways of childhood beside me, behind me, for now we see only in reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love."
Thank you very much for reading. Thank you. The night after my grandmother died, 27 years ago now, I found it really hard to sleep. It was this time of year, and eventually, as the summer dawn started to break, I gave up. I got up, I made a cup of tea, sat down at the dining room table, and I wrote a long letter to my great auntie Vera, who was my Nana's sister, her older sister. Auntie Vera had never married. It might have been because the country was depleted of men after the war, I don't know. But like many others in her position, now as then, she would have made a most wonderful spouse and parent. Those qualities weren't wasted. She was kindness itself, had a lot of friends, a lot of people that she did wonderful things to help, and the rest of the family benefited very much from her love and wisdom. And I'd like to think that we made her feel special too. When still in her 20s, my grandmother was left on her own with two young children. And from then on, she and Vera lived together for their whole lives. Nana and Auntie Vera came as a pair, like Martha and Mary, and I adored them. They were Methodists through and through, steadfast, all-embracing, tea-making, hymn-loving, pastoral-visiting, refugee-befriending salts of the earth. And their faith and selflessness inspire me still. Many of us are fortunate enough to have in our lives, or to have had in our lives, people who make or who have made a positive difference to how we think, feel, and act. Someone perhaps whose inspiration and example we want to honour and aspire to the best of our ability, by carrying forward the baton that they have handed to us. The baton might be a passion for nature, or cricket, camping, or something creative. Or it might be a personal quality, determination, the ability to go the extra mile, bring out the best in others, or champion the underdog in a practical way. I see faith as being a really precious baton to receive and to carry forwards. But it's such a challenging one. It requires that leap of choosing to accept and also trust in something that isn't fully tangible or visible, despite the testimony of others. It's very likely that even in this church of people who have chosen to be here to worship on a Sunday morning, we will all be at different stages when it comes to faith. Some people have a radiant and certain belief in God and in the life, death, resurrection, and redeeming grace of Christ. I'm absolutely sure, too, that we all know and love very much people who are very sceptical. But significantly through my preaching, what I've come to realise most of all, and the honesty of which I respect very much, is that many people would have what I would describe as a seeking faith, a hopeful faith, a faith that they struggle with sometimes, but a faith that matters to them very much. The Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius said that life is more like wrestling than dancing. And I would say that faith can also fit that description. Belief and unbelief do sometimes wrestle with one another, often shifting with the peaks and troughs of life. In the reading from 1 Corinthians that we heard this morning, Paul reassures us that all will become clear in the end. Bear in mind that the mirrors of which he speaks weren't the mirrors like we know them. We get a very clear image in a mirror, don't we? But in those days, they were made of volcanic glass, highly polished volcanic stone, not glass, I beg your pardon. So he said, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And this chimes beautifully with those first words that God spoke to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows us inside out. And one day we will come to have that full knowledge of him. It was those words that Paul wrote in the letter to the Corinthians that reminded of my epistle to Auntie Vera that I wrote just after Nana had died. Apart from sharing many treasured memories with her, I also remember saying that it was amazing to think that Nana now had all the answers, that she could see clearly at last. I found it helpful to write this. Auntie Vera was my soulmate, and her faith was sure, never sanctimonious or judgmental. She trusted in the Lord, who walked alongside her every day and shared whatever that might bring. Despite being told that love does not envy, I admit that there are times when I do envy that faith. More positively than that, though, it makes me strive, and I'm immensely grateful for that model of humble trust and goodness demonstrated by someone who would consider herself to be a very ordinary human being. She would be astonished to hear what I'm saying this morning. She would be astonished to know that I'm a local preacher. I think she'd be happy. Her attitude encourages me to maintain an open heart, to have a two-way relationship with God, and to hold on tightly to the baton of faith. At some point, though, no matter how it comes to us or however we are made aware of it, we do have to make the choice whether or not we run with the baton, with the faith that has been passed down through countless generations of faithful men and women, from the prophets such as Jeremiah, to John the Baptist, to Christ himself, and on through the apostles and the teaching of Paul, through the lives and mouths of some who have made it into great tomes of history or theology, and many who haven't, on and on through 2,000 years into our day, through the example of Saint Mother Teresa and her loving faith in action, through the powerfully compassionate leadership of the late Desmond Tutu, a prophet of reconciliation in our own lifetime, and through those dear, more ordinary people who simply reflect the love of God in their daily lives. Jesus said to Jairus, "Just believe." It's a beautifully simple starting point. Just believe. Give it a go. If we find ourselves experiencing potholes along the way, then it can be very reassuring to remember that the Bible is full of characters who really struggled initially to understand and to accept the mystery of God. And not least of all the stuff about Jesus, which was pretty incredible even at the time. Take his disciples. During his life, they were often afraid. They were confused, full of doubt. But eventually, everything that they had seen, heard, and experienced it firsthand led to their understanding, and it convinced them of the truth. It convinced them of the love and the grace of God as manifested through the incarnation of Jesus. It's very compelling, I find, to remember their courage, to remember that those disciples who started off so afraid and so muddled that they actually, most of them, went on to endure persecution and, in most cases, also death for their faith. We don't have the benefit of having been there, but the disciples are our ears and our eyes, and they stand for us if ever we doubt. Jesus' words to Thomas show that he was well aware of the challenge. "You believe because you have seen me." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It's a wonderful verse from John 20:29. Saul of Tarsus, born at around the same time as Jesus, is a great example of someone who was having none of it. He spent the first half of his life persecuting the early Christians and yet went on to become the Apostle Paul, the Paul that wrote those beautiful words in his letter to the Corinthians. those words about love. His blinding conversion experience on the road to Damascus is famous. It triggered an abrupt U-turn in his life. And from then on, he was devoted to spreading God's word. He rarely had the chance to revisit the churches that he had founded on his long missionary journeys, but he kept in touch with the people by letter. Some of those letters survived, and it is they that form a substantial chunk of the New Testament. They instruct, encourage, and sometimes berate, depending on whom Paul was writing to and why. Behavior was sometimes poor and divisive in the early church, and Paul's messages always reflected the ways of Christ. He urged the people to value equally each other's gifts and strengths, to clothe themselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to forgive one another if they had a grievance, and above all, to put on love. I love that metaphor of putting on love, of wearing love. But I've also been thinking that to put on has another meaning. It could be to pretend, couldn't it? If you put on a show or put on an act. In actual fact, I quite like that too, because sometimes we have to act. We have to pretend. I'm a school teacher, and sometimes I jolly well have to pretend to like a child. And actually, what I always do is to put myself in the shoes of the mother. I think, your mother loves you, and I'm going to love you as well. And if I act kindly and lovingly to that little individual, they give it back in abundance. It's a bit like smiling to somebody, you know, if they're a miserable devil. You know, if you smile at them and treat them really rather well, they tend to give it back. So it doesn't hurt really to put on love. We're going to have a bit of light relief now. We're going on a trip down memory lane. Now, I have to say that there's at least one person here for whom this will mean absolutely nothing, but you'll enjoy it. This is an advert from, I think, the 1970s, and I hope you enjoy it. It isn't entirely irrelevant. I'm not just indulging myself, and I hope it doesn't make you hungry. Here we go. Thank you. I think I could actually narrate it, sad as I have. Okay, so the essence of that little clip, as you will remember, is I like the first line. He looks at her and he goes, "Ooh, she's nice." And she's sitting there stuffing her little face with a packet of Rolos. And, of course, she loves him enough to give him her last Rolo. Do you love someone enough to give them your last Rolo? So it brings me on to the question of the day, which is, what is love? And we learn there that love is being prepared to give someone your last Rolo. I've had a few more ideas submitted. Got one here from, this one's got a name on it, John Lennon. Love is all you need. That's a good thought. And then we have your contributions. We've got love is the most wonderful thing in life. Love is faith, friendship, and family. Love is everything. Love is thoughtful and kind. Love is family and supporting one another. Love is joy. Love is what gives life its meaning and purpose, more precious than anything else. Love is patient and kind from God and for us all. Love is in every heart and is shown to family and friends. What an absolutely beautiful collection of thoughts. Thank you very much. I'm going to change the question just slightly now and ask not what is love, but what is God? I say that it's only a slight change because I do believe that it goes hand in hand with the question, what is love? I would answer simply that God is love and that love is God. Love and God are interchangeable words, a metaphor for each other. And Christina Rossetti expressed that beautifully in her poem. We've turned it into a hymn, which says, God came down at Christmas. God came down at Christmas. God being Jesus, God incarnate. So in that text from 1 Corinthians, in which Paul gives us his list of do's and don'ts, when he says what love is and what love does, and indeed what love does not do, he is also describing the qualities of God. God is patient. God is kind. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. I find that a great relief. God always protects. The challenge is for each of us, then, to insert our own name in place of the word love in each of those phrases, and to consider how we match up to the benchmark of behaviour that Paul has set out for us. Love, God, is the guide for our conscience, for our better nature and judgment, for making a difference to how we treat each other at every point. And just as faith is a choice, so usually is our behaviour a choice. Some of you might have come across a book that's been really very popular recently. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. Have some of you come across that? It reminds me a bit of Winnie the Pooh. It's got delightful illustrations and simple profundity. And it's all about love. And I've given Rob an image from that book, which I think you might enjoy. Here it comes. No sound required. There's absolutely no rush, no problem. There we go. How cute is that? There's the boy talking to the mole, and the mole says, one of our greatest freedoms is how we react to things. One of our greatest freedoms is how we react to things. I love that. It could be a naive statement. People suffer from mental illness, don't they? It's not always appropriate to cast out that blanket statement. However, generally speaking, it's an important message. We can choose how we behave towards one another. Each of us holds the happiness of others in the palm of our hands every day. We can crush or we can uplift. It applies to all of our actions and our interactions, to our relationships with family and friends, colleagues, people in our communities, people whom we serve or who serve us, people who live lives similar to us, and people whose lives are very different from ours, people who perhaps live many miles away, but who depend on us to be their voice, to champion their cause, or to support them with our generosity. As human beings made in God's image, we are blessed with a wonderful capacity for love, for thinking beyond ourselves, for choosing to run with the baton of faith, with Christ as our guide in all the situations that we face. I would encourage you and me to keep tapping into the words of Paul. Keep wearing love. Have faith. And may God bless you and keep you safe in the palm of his hand. Amen. Now we're going to sing again. The next hymn is For All the Saints Who Showed Your Love. Singing the Faith 746 if you're using the books. Let's pray together again. O Lord our God, we thank you for your eternal love that holds us fast, for the faith and the hope it gives us, and for the promise that all shall be well. Thank you for the prophets throughout history who have proclaimed your will, for individuals who stand up for justice and equality for all people, for all who act as your hands and feet, serving the poor and the needy, for people who reflect Christ's love in their daily lives and pass on the baton of faith. We thank you for the gift of life itself, for the earth's resources that feed us and keep us warm, for our beautiful planet, and for those who guide us in how to care for it responsibly. Thank you for the richness and variety of different races and cultures, for the joy of human love and laughter, for our different strengths and capabilities, for endeavour and healthy aspiration, for games well played and jobs well done. We thank you for your free-flowing grace and for the selfless, redeeming life of Jesus, whose example we strive to follow. Amen. And now we come to our prayers of intercession. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, we pray for the church throughout the world. We remember the men and women who have served you and spread your word through centuries of discovery and growth, from the first fallible, frightened disciples who followed Jesus to Jerusalem, through generations of people of every class and temperament, to the present day. Lord, we pray that your church will stand strong in this broken world, working in love to bring the unity which is your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for people in countries where even basic needs are not met, for nations torn apart by war, for all situations in which human rights are ignored, where women are demeaned, where prisoners are forgotten, where people live in fear of radical groups, where displaced people can find no home or opportunities to build a better life, where life is so appalling that the danger of fleeing seems preferable to remaining there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the future of this fragile earth, for people living in the wake of natural disaster, fire, flood, famine. In a summer when intense heat has endangered lives and brought into sharp focus the impact that our choices, products, and lifestyle have on the environment, help us to be fully responsible in our behaviour, in the example we set, and in our certainty that we can and must make a difference. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you see all, and we pray for all whose lives are bereft of peace. People in all corners of the world and all walks of life who are overwhelmed by sadness or grief, by loneliness, pain, fear, stress, feelings of inadequacy, frustration, temptation, guilt, bitterness, worry, or disappointment. You see the challenges of everyday life that require our stoicism. And sometimes you see lives turned upside down by unbearable, insurmountable anguish, and situations where human behavior beggars belief or understanding. Father, be with those who feel the need to do terrible things. Steer them to stop before it is too late. And where there is injury, bring comfort to all who have been harmed or bereaved or deeply shocked or shamed by the actions of someone they love. When everything is dark and it seems that the sun will never shine again, may your love break through. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This week in our prayer cycle, we focus especially on our friends at Gawsworth Church. We give thanks for the faithful congregation there and pray for them as they continue to support one another and the local community in love and fellowship through their coffee mornings and chapel teas, the Girls Brigade, singing group, and many other activities. We ask that you bless each and every one of them in body, mind, and spirit. And we think of them especially this morning as they give thanks for the leadership and the ministry of Roz in that church. And we ask that you bless her as she takes on different responsibilities within our circuit now that Helen has moved down to Cornwall. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in this church, we pray for each and every one of the congregation as they go about their daily lives. And we remember especially those who are struggling particularly at this time, including Margaret Wilson, who has been in hospital this week. And we reflect quietly on our own lives and those close to our own hearts. Gracious God, whatever we face day by day, may we stay close to you. May we find strength and peace in your love and know that you are with us. We ask these prayers through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please, could you just remind me what happens with the offertory at the moment at point? A retiring collection. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Well, I pray that God will bless your generous offerings and use them to the good of life in the community, and that you will forge on in your work for him. We're going to sing a very stirring final hymn, Lift High the Cross. It's a long one. Some verses aren't totally apt for today, so please, we're going to omit verses 2 and 3 if you are using the hymn book. However, if you're reading from the screen, I think you've omitted them already, Rob, haven't you? There are four verses altogether. I'm not going to confuse things anymore. I think probably everybody's just reading from the overhead, aren't they? So just sing what you see and sing loudly. Thank you. Thank you. next time I choose that, I'm going to bring a cymbal. It definitely needs it, doesn't it, in that final refrain. So now we move into the final prayer and blessing. And I've chosen a verse from Proverbs 3 to read by way of our final blessing. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to live and work to God's praise and glory. Have a great week. And until I see you again, God bless you all. Amen. Thank you for your wonderful organ.